All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And have you ever wondered how a real estate investor secured 100% OPM for an 11-unit property in the GTA? My guest today, Zoe Farrell Roden, not only cracked the capital code, but has also flipped multi-million dollar properties. Stay tuned as she reveals her secrets to success and mindset shifts in real estate. Zoe, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much, Bryce, for having me.
Yeah, no problem. That's without interviewing guests, what kind of show would this be? It'd just be me talking for half an hour. So what I really love about that is you raised 100% OPM for an 11-unit property. Tell the people at home how that happened.
I think first is actually believing that it's possible, to be honest, because sometimes when you doubt, that's where everything kind of goes the other direction, right? So first believing that you can get it done, and just build relationships, ask the questions that you need to ask, because sometimes the doors will open, but they never would have if you never asked, right? So I'm a firm believer in asking. So this was an 11 unit, not too far from where I live. I live in the GTA. I live in the Durham region, to be exact. And I realized that the property was listed. It was posted in an investment group, and it was also listed. And it was listed for just $1, though. So I thought, oh my goodness, clearly
you're going for the bidding war, right?
Is to kind of have a bidding war, right? And I just did my research, realized what the price per door or price per unit in that area was commanding at the time, and realized that I needed to create a win-win offer, at least that or close to it. And it started there. We just started with a discussion. The truth is, on the listing it did say that the seller would be open to some sort of financing, and that always tickles my fancy. When I see that, I'm like, yes, let's go, kind of a thing. And so I saw that and I thought that maybe I'd be able to really talk and, you know, be able to negotiate some kind of terms that are favorable. Of course, it was one of the harder transactions to close just because of the many moving parts. But nevertheless, we got it done. So we did get a very sizable VTB. And we raised capital for the rest.
Wow. So, you know, a lot of times people have to go to the bank and they have to figure out the financing, but you're able to kind of put it together with the owner and some additional partners. So that's amazing. And nonetheless, in the GTA, where people believe that the opportunities are not there.
Non-existent.
Yeah.
And I guess mean, whatever I can
you believe you can achieve, right?
No, absolutely. I can appreciate why it would appear that you can't find anything in GTA, but there are still deals. There are still deals in almost every market. It may take a little more negotiation than some, or a little bit more research than some, but there are still deals definitely to be had. There's certainly the one that we acquired is an absolute testament to that. So there are still deals for sure.
So you'd primarily invest in the GTA. So you're playing right in the big fish tank.
I wouldn't say primarily. I wouldn't say that. We do have properties in the GTA, or have flipped properties in the GTA, but we also have properties out of province in New Brunswick, and we also have properties south of the border in the US. So it's not just the GTA. But certainly, the GTA properties tend to benefit a little bit more from appreciation, moving a little faster than it would in some other markets. So even though most times cash flow is a concern, there is also the opportunity to build equity. Fortunately for us, we were able to get that building almost empty. And so that's for us a dream, because you know how it is to get tenants out in the
What, you can get
in
tenants
Canada.
out in Ontario? Is that
Yeah,
a
what's
thing?
that? Never
You
heard
can
of it,
get them
right?
to leave the. I
So
saw a story
when
actually where a guy wrote a lease to himself, and because of the rules of like squatter rules in the state that he was in, he waited for them to like leave, and then he moved and he went into his own house and changed the locks and like put their furniture out. So like people are
Oh,
going to
wow.
extremes to reclaim their properties these days because
And you know,
professional tenants are serious.
it really shouldn't be like that, Bryce. I can appreciate that you do have some landlords that are probably unreasonable, but the truth is, as property owners and landlords, we do have bills to pay, just like everybody else. And like every other investment vehicle, to sit and watch it literally, it's like the stocks are just falling and you're just falling, and you can do nothing about it except that you can, but you know, there's a body that you know is making it diff more difficult for you to fix that. So we were able to get the property largely vacant, and so that's a good an absolute blessing for us. So we looked more on what the appraisal would be, providing that we are able to fill the units at least close to market. And we realized it was a good deal. And so we did make a good offer. And the sellers were creative enough, or they were guided to by a realtor that understood creative financing, and they were able to extend that VTB a little bit. So that was a tremendous deal. Like, I think to date it feels like, you know, our best deal yet, just because of all the things that had to go into it to make it close, and to for it to be ours, and of course to be working at it at this time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to real estate, and it's interesting what you said. It's like tenants believe that landlords have unlimited resources that they don't have to pay those mortgages too. Like if you're not
Yeah,
hanging
absolutely.
out in that house, like who's paying that mortgage, right? So, when you think about it in that sense, certainly it can go either way. One second here. I gotta pause this for just a second. Sorry about that. Just a
No worries.
miscommunication in the neighborhood. So, yeah, ultimately when you're looking at a property, you've got stuff in New Brunswick because you guys were looking at ultimately cash flow. So tell me, what's the portfolio like in total? How large is that portfolio?
In total, we have 31 doors, and I'd say 31 and counting. We have liquidated some were flips. So in all, since starting our journey, we got to 31 doors.
So where in the United States are you investing as well?
Alabama and Ohio.
Nice, nice. So when looking at, all the things you've accomplished in your real estate so far, what's one of the biggest obstacles you would say that's holding you back from getting to that next level in your business?
I'd say the one thing holding back, it's just the ability, not so much the ability, but the jumping right in and taking all of it, just taking it all in, embracing everything, and not be too limited by, you know, zeros. For example, I remember calling on a deal that I'd seen, and when the seller told me, or the realtor rather told me, oh, this is going for $30 million, that's like, eek, you know, that's a lot, right? So things like that, I'd say, is just need to embrace the entire thing, the entire journey, and to not be diverted and have competing interests, because that happens too at times. And there are some deals that pass you by, some network events that you miss, many network events that you miss, things that you don't get to do just because, or that you don't choose to do for whatever reason. So I think immersing myself and also being a little bit more present, especially on social media platforms where persons are able to see you and know what it is that you're doing, And I think this is probably a step in the right direction for me, so that the name Zoe Ferrell-Rodin is not something that is heard for the first time, and that when persons hear the name, they can say, "Hey, I've heard that name before," kind of a thing. So there's some familiarity even before meeting persons.
So when it comes to real estate investing, what do you think your secret sauce is? What comes easy to you that other people might find difficult to do?
Probably presenting my deals. I'm probably pitching my deals. I've never been shy or nervous really in talking to people. I suppose I'm a people person, I'm not sure, but I really have no difficulty talking to someone. There are people just like you and I, at this point in time in their lives. They may have more resources financially than I do, but there's nevertheless just people just like me, and there's always some value that I'm able to exchange. And that's just something I think almost every real estate investor or people just in general need to embrace, because you always have something that you can give. There's always some value that you can exchange that other person probably wouldn't have for themselves. It's just for you to find that and know that there are people just like you. They're just in a different place and space and time, and so are you. It doesn't make them better or you worse. It's just a matter of being able to pitch and let persons know what it is that you're doing, and also be dead honest too and transparent in what it is that you're doing and where you are in your journey. Because for us, for example, my husband and I, we are fairly new immigrants. Well, we probably can't say new immigrants anymore, because come February we'll be here for 6 years. But I've had to tell possible potential investors already that, listen, I'm not starting from where some persons are starting from. I never came into the journey with a property with significant equity for myself, where I could probably pull out and start. I never came with RSPs and stuff like that, right? So a part of being transparent and authentic, I think, is also something that has been a little easier for me to do, because I just laid the cards out on the table.
So how are you going about expanding your network of prospective investors as an immigrant? You don't really have like you were saying, the equity from some property that you've owned for 10 years to start your game. So you've been networking and raising capital since the beginning. How are you going about expanding your network of prospective investors now?
I other than joining a few mentorship groups, I talk to people about what it is that I do. Sometimes you never know what persons have. And not all of my investors have come from the real estate space. Some persons are just people that just in talking to them. I remember one of the first persons who invested with us. Honestly, if you saw her, you just never know that she had monies that she could unlend, because she just looks very, I'd say, very low key, very simple. But she had monies that she was willing to unlend, right? And she's been a repeat lender many times over. So it's just being there and out there. And I need to do more of that. I need to do more of that. But largely, how I've been able to acquire what we've acquired is just by talking to persons and networking largely with other real estate investors.
So, what have you found to be most effective when, you're trying to keep in touch with your investors and the investor prospects that you're either working with or hope to work with? What sort of approach do you take to keep them engaged and ready to invest?
Sometimes I share deals, and sometimes I would, even if I already have an investor on that, I'd still also sometimes share a deal to say, hey, just in case you wanted an insight or further knowledge of just what I do and how I do what I do. Here's a deal, for example, that I'm working on. Don't necessarily need funding, but this is how I do what I'm doing. I remember at one point I offered for investors who are especially not in the real estate space to come onto the property, have a walkthrough, look what it is that we're doing, how we were reorienting the layout to maximize and add utility to increase rent, things like that. Again, you're always able to exchange some kind of value. And I think that's what I'll do and continue to do.
So with, one of the challenges a lot of people have is actually doing the pitch, presenting the deal. Are you presenting on a deal by deal basis, or are you presenting in like this is the business that you're investing in? What's your approach as far as what have you found to be most effective when presenting your deal to a possible investor?
So far, it really has been deal by deal, but I know to scale, it needs to be the other way around. It needs to be this is my business and an investment. But sometimes it's better to have the investment before the deal comes so that you can actually take advantage of the opportunity when it does come. So I know that the other suggestion is the better one and the most ideal one. But as at now, it's largely deal by deal that we're pitching.
Yeah, because one of my questions was going to be, do you prefer to have the deal first and then go and get the money, or would you prefer to have the money lined up and then go looking for deals?
I would clearly prefer to have the money lined up and then just go looking for deals. But so far, that has not been our main route, right? But I definitely want to start doing it that way or do more of it that way and approach it that way. But we've largely approached it from deal to deal.
So what is the plan for 2024? What does the future look like?
The plan for 2024 is to acquire at least 100 doors. I know it is doable. I've seen it done. If others can do it, so can I. And so that is the idea. I also want, because I do also assist persons, real estate investors, to acquire financing on the US side, because I'm a loan broker and I'm also a licensed mortgage agent here in Canada. So I want to do more of that. In fact, come January, I will be putting out a challenge to real estate investors to own and flip a property within 1 month in the US, or 2 months, right? So I want to do that and to get persons, investing in the US as well as for ourselves. We definitely want to acquire at least 100 units.
In the United States, or just all across the board?
No, just in general. Just in general.
Yeah, definitely. There's 40 million people in Canada and 400 million people in the United
I
States.
know
There's no reason
it's
why people can't get 100 doors,
I
only
know, I
100.
know.
That's 440 million people. Let's say that half of them are like two pairing up in each house. That's 220 million houses. I think you can find 100 in 1 year,
Yeah,
definitely.
no, 100 units. So it could be
Yeah.
one. It
Yeah, it
could
could be
be
one. That's
four
what I mean. It
buildings,
could be
right?
one. It could be
Exactly.
one
It could
for
be
100. It could be two
425
for
unit
50.
buildings.
Yeah, it could be anything. And
Yeah,
finding
absolutely.
100 doors and 220 million people, I think you could do it, definitely. But it's going to probably take some capital. So, on that note, if people want to find out more, they want to connect with you, they want to bring the capital to the party, what should they do? How do they find you?
And so this is where I clearly need to improve. My handle on TikTok is Zoe Ted REI. So ZoeTedREI. And on Instagram, I believe I'm the same, but I'll leave my email address for ease of reference because at least I know that. And my email address is Zoe, Zoe dot Ferrell, Ferrill hyphen Roden, Rhoden at Outlook.com.
There you go. There you go. Well, I really appreciate you stopping by and just really imparting the wisdom that you can do it. I like what you said. If somebody else did it, so can I. So I really appreciate you bringing the mindset to the show tonight.
Thank you, Bryce.
No problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.
All righty.